The theme for this morning is the battle belongs to the Lord, which is why the songs are quite triumphal this morning, to remind us that the battle does belong to the Lord. And one of the stories I want us to think about this morning is Jehoshaphat. Now, if nothing else, you'll know Jumping Jehoshaphat, yes? No, you've never heard this. Okay, some have, some haven't. And Jehoshaphat basically was a king who was a good king in amongst the whole stretch of bad kings. And this good king was called into battle, and as he went into battle, he put the choir in front. Sometimes that's a good idea. But at other times, sorry. At other times, it's the idea being that worship went before Jehoshaphat. And as he worshipped the king, the battle was given to God and the battle belongs to the Lord. And Jehoshaphat is one of the examples of the battle belonging to God. And later on we're going to hear again the story of how David defeated Goliath, because there again the battle belongs to the Lord. So I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles and starting at verse 13 in chapter 20. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jehiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Aren't you glad, Anne, that I gave you the other reading? He said to them, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle belongs to the Lord." The words there are mine. I've changed them, but it's a good translation. The battle belongs to the Lord. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up through the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give to you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and the people of the Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out, the head of the army saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berkara, where they praised the Lord. And this is why it is called the Valley of Berkara to this very day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went with the temple with the Lord with harps, lyres, and trumpets. The fear of God came all on the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. Wonderful picture of how God steps in the difficulty of facing battle. Anne, thank you.
1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him.
What unites these two stories of Jehoshaphat and David killing Goliath is the phrase, "The battle belongs to the Lord." And this got me thinking, have you ever faced a challenge so overwhelming that victory seemed impossible? A situation so difficult, so hard, that you couldn't possibly see how things could work out well. Battles in the Christian life are inevitable. But God doesn't leave us to face them alone. We have him on our side. And there's two aspects to this battle that I want us to think about. And the first one is, sometimes in Christianity, it's a physical battle. We need to admit that we struggle against our flesh, our bodies, our way of thinking, our thought life, our every aspect of our fleshly body. By that I mean the self that is selfish, disobedient, and rebellious. We are at war with ourselves. I've got quite a few references that I've taken from the Bible this morning to encourage us that the Bible is on our side in this battle, that we're not alone, that we have the Word of God to help us in this. And I'm taking Romans 7, verse 14. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but I hate what I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer myself who do it, but sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not know the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but my sinful nature is a slave to the law of sin. Bit of a complicated passage. I do what I don't want to do, and what I do want to do, I don't do. But conjures up that so much of what we're like as Christians. We know what is right to do, the Bible tells us, but so often we get it wrong. And we go against what God tells us to do. And Paul says here that he is at war with himself, a man conflicted. That's normal, folks. A man at battle with himself. When we battle with pride, thought life, gossip, greed, we need to see this as our normal Christian life. But the battle belongs to the Lord. What does it mean to God to overcome the flesh? Well, he gives us spiritual fruit of self-control. Ephesians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What wonderful words. Keep in step with the Spirit. I love this picture because I think it's a picture of a toddler with a parent. When you've got a toddler with a parent, we tried to use reins at one time with the children because they were twins, and we ended up like this. And then other times, Gemma would just simply take the rein off and say, here, Mummy, or here, Daddy. But when you hold their hands, they're with you, and they're there secure. And when you stop, they stop. When you go, they go. And that's being in step with the Spirit. That's how the Spirit controls us and how we are controlled by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And so when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we overcome the flesh. But it's an effort. To say no to greed, gossip, selfishness, and all the other things which pull us down. Paul describes the Christian life as being like a farmer, other times an athletic runner, sometimes a boxer. All take effort and hard work and training. And if you're exhausted in serving the Lord, you're probably doing something right. And yet the Bible also reminds us that God gives us strength. It's about balance. David last week in his prayer said about the verse in Isaiah which says that we will be given strength and mount on wings like eagles. It's about balance, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and pummeling our body into obedience. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, I make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is there saying that if we build on those things and pummel our bodies and work to serve God, we will know victory. He talks about faith, believing, goodness, of really just being good people, of doing the right thing, of knowledge. Knowledge not that puffs up, but knowledge that is built on Scripture. Knowledge that is shaped by Scripture. Self-control. So often that's sneered at in our world today. If it feels good, do it. If it feels right, just do it. There's no laws against self pleasure. And yet self-control reminds us that we have to control our bodies and our minds. Perseverance, not giving up. Godliness, looking after God and saying, I want to be like you, Jesus. Mutual affection in this scriptures, it talks about that as being affection for one another as Christians. You know, I've heard in the past many times people saying, oh, I love him, but I don't like him very much. Or I love her and I don't like her very much. That doesn't make sense. There is love in the end which overcomes all. Paul, in describing the race that we run, in 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Spiritual training, spiritual control of our bodies. However, for Jehoshaphat, the choir was what led into battle. Praise was the key, and that's the key for us. The praise that comes from walking with God every moment of every day. Praise that is not about us singing choruses all the time, but living according to God's way, keeping in step with the Spirit. Praise was key, and God destroyed an army before the battle even occurred. We need to acknowledge that the battle is God's, not ours, as it says in verse 15 of that passage. Seek the Lord through prayer and worship. Trust in his deliverance, even when the odds seem impossible. The battle belongs to the Lord. And sometimes Christianity is a spiritual battle. We overcome the flesh, sometimes we need to overcome the spirit. Do you know, I have had to repent in the last few weeks of my hatred of men like Trump and Putin because of their disgusting ways. And I have had to repent and say to God, God, I'm not allowed to hate, so teach me how I might love. They are simply figureheads of a wider problem. Ephesians 6 verse 12, very essential in their thinking of these things. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And when Paul talks about the rulers there, he's talking about the heavenly rulers, or the rulers of the air, as the scriptures describe elsewhere, which is the evil spirits. They are the authorities and the powers, the spiritual forces of evil. Not the rulers of our world, but those who are behind them. And we do this in the heavenly realms. And Paul appears to be describing a spiritual battle, not of people, but of the dark forces of the world under Satan's control. The leaders of this world, if they won't walk with God, they walk with the world. And that means they're open to dark forces. So we have war, famine, civil unrest. We have enough food in this world to cure famine. We have enough nous in our understanding to have peace in this world. We have enough leaders who would seek God, then there would be an end to civil unrest. All signs that the rulers and authorities are under the influence of dark powers. We win by putting on the spiritual armor of God. And by this we overcome the spiritual forces opposed against us. And I read again from Ephesians, and this is a long passage but worth listening to. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given that I will be fearless in making known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. The battle belongs to the Lord. And then lastly, Jesus has overcome both. Jesus has overcome. He defeated Satan on the cross. Satan's power was destroyed and broken upon the cross. But like a snake with its back broken, it's still able to bite. And the devil is still able to have power over people, over situations, but he is a defeated enemy. We need to remember that what Revelation teaches us is that when Satan is cast into the fiery pit at the end of all times, then we will experience the ruler of the air, as Satan referred to as a dangerous enemy, being destroyed. We are not overcome because Jesus has won the war. We may lose battles. We may lose individual battles with ourselves, with our physical, with our spiritual. But the war ultimately belongs to Jesus. The cross defeated Satan. Resurrection defeated death. Therefore, what do we have to fear? Jesus has overcome. We need to stop striving in our own strength and lean on him, as it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. To trust God's word and praise him before victory is seen. A faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Step out in faith when he calls, knowing he has prepared the way, because the battle belongs to the Lord.